Venture, presented by Wild Root Cream Oil for the Hair. Over the minds of mortal men come many shadows. Shadows of greed and hate, jealousy and fear. Darkness is the absence of light. So in the sudden shadows which fog the minds of men and women are to be found the strange impulses which urge them into the unknown. Dark Venture. Tonight's venture in the dark features Betty Lou Gerson and David Ellis in Cover Up, the story of a woman who set out to find the killer of the man she loved.
Dark Venture is brought to you by the Wild Root Company, makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
And now tonight's dark venture, Cover Up.
I will tell exactly what happened and the orders that have happened from the moment I arrived in Munich, February 2nd of this year. I went directly from the railroad station to a three-story tenement that had been badly scarfed by bombs. I found the name Hans Brunner under one of the doorbells. I pushed the bell and waited. Finally, upstairs in the hallway, I heard a door open.
Yes, what is it?
I want to see Hans Brunner.
Come on up, second floor.
The hallway was lit by a single gas jet. There was an odor, a depressive odor of decay. As I passed the first floor landing, I stopped for breath. I was startled to see a man leaning at the doorway of the first floor apartment. A huge, red-faced man in a gray sweater reading a newspaper. He didn't even look at me.
Why so slow? Come on up. It's cold in the hall.
I went up the second flight of stairs more quickly. A younger man was waiting for me. He was carrying a gun in a shoulder holster.
Don't let the gun bother you. Come in.
Well,
Come in. Now, what do you want?
Hans Brunner.
I'm Hans Brunner. What is it?
You must forgive me, but since I've never seen you before...
You want to see my identification papers?
Yes.
Why?
I'm Elna Karl from Berlin.
Oh, I see. The famous Elna Karl. Famed not only for her work in the underground during the war, but also for her beauty, her magnificent golden hair. But I've never seen you before either, Elna. And many women have golden hair.
So
we will exchange papers. Here are mine.
And mine.
Well, your picture doesn't flatter you.
So you have located Erich Stromer.
I know where he is.
Those of us who are left have decided that Stromer will not be turned over to the Allied authorities.
Why?
As you know, Stromer signed a death warrant for every one of our group who died. It has been decided this once. We will allow ourselves the luxury of vengeance.
And I have been named the Avenger. Is that what you came here to tell me?
Yes.
Good. Stromer is the cleverest of the lot. If you are given over to the occupation authorities, he'd find some way of squirming through. Erich Stromer. His name is like acid on the tongue. Have you ever seen him?
No,
of course not. They plastered pictures of Hitler and Goering on every billboard, but Stromer, he was a great believer in seclusion. Here, here's his picture in this billfold.
This is Stromer.
Clipped it out of a newspaper. The day my father was beheaded at the command of Erich Stromer.
Where is Stromer now?
In a shepherd's hut in the Wittenberger Forest, 300 miles south. But every mile of the way, he is well protected.
By whom?
These Nazi werewolves. He's their last great hope.
But the occupation armies.
Occupation armies. Let me tell you about one fanatic in particular. Roaming the streets of Munich this very moment, his name is Felscher. is one of the monstrosities we Germans have given to the world. With a fat, red-faced lump, with no nerves, no heart, but with enough strength in each hand.
Wait.
What?
The man I saw in the doorway of the first-floor apartment.
What man? First-floor apartment had been sealed up for months.
He was very fat. His face was flushed. He was wearing a gray sweater.
You stay here. You will see why I have such affection for this gun. He's not in the hall now.
But I saw him in that first-floor doorway right down there.
Let's go back to the apartment. How could Felcher have known anything?
He may have followed me from the station.
Then how could he have been here ahead of you?
I don't know.
Within an hour, every rat and every sewer in Munich will know you're here. Start back for Lynn on the first train you can get. I'll leave for Eric Stromer at once. Wish me luck.
No need to wish you luck. I will know how things come out.
What do you mean?
I'm going with you.
I'm afraid not.
Those are my orders. There ought to be two of us.
Why did they choose you?
Perhaps because I have such a splendid reason for killing Herr Stromer.
Oh?
It chose my wedding day to murder the man I love. I'm going with you.
You have a gun?
Yours will do. I will be satisfied to be a spectator.
Felcher is spreading the word about us right now. If we're to have any chance at all, we'll have to completely lose our identity. And once we begin, there's no turning back. You know that, too.
Yes.
All right. Then let us begin. And the car.
We purchased false identification papers and became Hilda and Ernst Schiller. Then we went to the public square where the black market operated in the open. There I traded my raincoat and scarf, those are wristwatches, his hat and gloves, for scissors, a pair of reading glasses, a bottle of dye, and an armful of old clothes. We wrapped everything in a bundle. Went to a small hotel.
Here we are, Mr. and Mrs. Schiller. Room 34.
Thank you.
I've been a clerk here for a very long time, and I always pride myself on being able to tell what's what. I bet I know something about you, too.
What do you mean?
It's your honeymoon, isn't it?
Why?
Why, isn't that remarkable, Ernst? I'm the world of death.
I got my ways. I'll leave you alone now. Well, if you want anything, just phone down.
Now look, Elna. We can get a train out of here for the south at 5 o'clock tonight, so we can't waste any time. Put the bundle down. Sit here.
What are you going to do? What are you doing with those scissors?
You're not going to like it, Elna.
What?
When a man looks at you, the things he remembers clearest is his long golden hair.
Well?
Say goodbye to it. We've got to change our appearance completely.
If only I...
Yes.
Nothing. Go ahead. Start cutting.
You'd like to cry, wouldn't you?
No.
Poor Elna. You're thinking of how he used to look at your hair. How he used to kiss it.
I'm thinking of Eric Stromer. He cut my hair very short, then dyed it gray. While it dried, he shaved off his mustache, touched his own hair with gray. Then he went to the bathroom, changed clothes. When he came out, I felt a kind of chill in my heart, as if someone else had come out. He looked like a seedy old school teacher. Then he finished with me. He wiped the makeup from my face, put the reading glasses on.
Now, look at yourself in the mirror.
I can't believe it. I know it's idiot. Glasses, they are too small. I can't wear them. They give me a headache.
All right. Take them off for now. But when we're outside, we'll have to wear them. We'll have to do everything right.
Yes, I know. I get it. Yes?
Mr. Hook, the room clerk.
Yes?
There's a man in the lobby asking for Elna Karl and Hans Brunner.
So why do you call us? My name is Shiloh.
What's wrong?
Because the man described the people he wanted and the description fit you. Honeymooners, indeed. I'll give you 10 minutes to get out of my hotel.
But listen to me.
10 minutes and then I call the authorities.
All right, all right. Where's this man?
He's waiting in the lobby.
What does he look like?
Now, what difference
does that make? Listen to me, this man, he may belong to the werewolves.
Another one of your stories.
He's a fat, red-faced man. Please tell me. It's very important.
There's no need to tell you. You'll describe him as perfectly as he describes you.
Very well. Then, down to the lobby.
He followed us.
Sir, give us 10 minutes to get out.
I will soon know if our disguise is as good as we think.
What do you mean?
Give me the bundle of our old clothes. We're going downstairs.
But, Felton...
This is the chance to find out. We've got to know if they can recognize us before we start. Are you coming, Mrs. Schiller? There's Felcher, sitting in a chair reading a newspaper.
He's the one I saw in the hallway.
He's looking up. He's seen us.
Fight.
Keep walking toward the door. It's working. He's gone back to his paper. Now we can start for Eric Stoma.
We went to the railway station. Just before we passed through a police inspection, I suggested we hide the gun in the bundle of clothes. Luckily, it wasn't found. Then I got another bit of luck. When we boarded the train, located our section, we found the compartment, which was meant for 6 passengers, was empty.
Well, now you can take off those glasses.
Yes. My head feels like a sore thumb. It's starting to move.
In 10 hours, we'll be there. How do you feel?
I lost the headache. I'm a little shaky. Oh, no.
What is it?
Look through the window.
Felcher. Running for the train. He'll never make it.
He did make it. He's on a train.
Starting out badly, Anna. With Felcher on board, we'll have to change our plans. We'll have to leave the train at the next stop.
But we look so different. I'm certain he didn't recognize us in the hotel.
We can't take the chance.
The first stop was at Gorham. Passengers left the train for what little food they could buy at the refreshment stands. We started walking past the little station. Then we saw Felcher waiting for us.
Come on, across the track.
We ran down the tracks until I was ready to drop. When we looked back, the station was at least 1/2 mile away. I sat down and rested. After a while, the train was on its way again. As we came by, we flung ourselves to the ground. Felcher hadn't followed us. Was he on the train? We waited till dark and started back to the station at Gorham. A freight train was being loaded by the light of bright red flares. We walked past the freight car until we found one that was open.
Look around. Anybody watching us?
No, I don't think so.
All right. This freight train's going south. It's as good as any. Here, you take the bundle. I'll boost you up. You all right?
Yes.
When's the last time you ate?
This morning. Breakfast. Not much as that.
Train won't be leaving for a while yet. We'll go to one of those refreshment stands in the station and get us some apples.
I wish you wouldn't.
We can't ride all night with nothing in our stomachs. I'll be all right.
As soon as it was gone, I called to the fire into the freight car. All that happened that day began catching up with me. I caught myself yawning once I dozed off. I came out of it in time to hear someone approaching the car.
Look, this car's open. Where did that happen? These workers you get now, they don't care about anything. Come on, help me lock it.
Lock it? I wanted to run to the door and pound on it. I wanted to scream to them to let me out. But I didn't dare. I didn't know what to do. Before I could make up my mind, the freight train began moving. Then I ran to the door. Let me out. Let me out. hard not to hear me. I will not forget that night. I started crawling back. There was nothing else to do. In the darkness, I lost all my sense of direction. If only there had been just a little light. With such a dreadful, suffocated feeling locked up below. Then I thought I heard someone breathing. It could not be. I was alone. Then I heard it again. Is anyone else in this car? Answer me. Answer me! There it was again. He breathing. I held my own breath to hear it better. Then the breathing stopped. I sat rigid, straining, listening. Until I exhaled with a long sigh. Oh, it was me I had heard. It was me. It was my own breathing. I could not let myself go to pieces. I could not. Finally, out of sheer exhaustion, I must have fallen asleep. Because the next thing I knew, the train had stopped. The freight car door was being pushed open.
Elna.
Oh, what happened to you?
I'll tell you later. Get the bundle and come over to the door.
I have it.
Now give me your hands. Now jump.
Where are we now?
Just outside Dornberg. Train stopped at the water tower.
What time is it?
Not quite midnight.
Why did you leave me in that car? Why didn't you come back?
I did come back. I was already locked. Train was ready to move. Look at me. I had to ride in an open coal car.
I thought we had been separated on the dreadful night.
I told you this would be the longest 300 miles anyone ever traveled. We've gone most of the way, Elna. There's barely 100 miles left between us and Eric Stober.
After I'd rested a while, we started for Dornberg. We found a bus station where a little group of people waited for a bus that was already 5 hours late. Finally, at 2:30 in the morning, the bus came, a battered old military bus. They would leave us almost at the doorstep of the house we were planning to visit. It was dark in the bus, very crowded with passengers trying to sleep in the uncomfortable seats. We stood in the aisle for a time, fighting to keep our balance.
No need to stand up.
What?
Yes, I'm talking to you, you and your friends. There are 2 seats over here.
Let's go.
Yes, I suppose. Thank you very much. We are coming. It's very kind of you.
Spencer? Don't say anything.
Rent your room. You, miss, you can sit next to me. And you, sir, there's room for you right in the back.
Yes, all right.
Put your bundle under the seat. That's right. I saw you standing up. I thought to myself, now, why shouldn't they be comfortable?
So I sat next to Felch from the dark. He was eating a melon, cutting off chunks with a large pocket knife, smacking his lips in appreciation, completely at peace with the world. Somehow that made it even more terrible. I wanted to warn the bus driver. I wanted to tell him about Felcher, that he was a Nazi werewolf who hunted down people and killed them. But how did I know about the bus driver? How did I know about anybody on the bus?
I ask you, would you like some melon?
What?
My melon. Would you like some? There's plenty.
No, thank you.
And how about you? You, sir, it's very good, you know.
Well, I guess I am pretty hungry.
Help yourself. More than enough. Here, take the whole thing. Cut yourself a good piece.
Thank you.
And where are you headed for, miss?
Oh, didn't you know? I'm going to Wittenberg.
Oh, yeah. I hear it's very pleasant this time of the year. Very healthful.
I hope so.
And have you come far?
Hans, you stabbed him.
Shut up. Just sit there.
So I sat there, like nothing had happened, feeling life leaving the body of the man beside me, feeling his blood seep down across my coat. And then he sagged suddenly against me, his head falling on my shoulder. I felt myself getting ill. Huh?
Yes.
I can't sit here. I can't stand.
You'll have to stand it.
Someone will see.
In this darkness, what will they see? He fell asleep. His head fell against your shoulder.
Hans,
told you how it would be.
Are you sure this was Felcher?
Open his shirt. Look closely at the tattoo on his left shoulder. There's enough light for that.
I can't.
Here, I'll open it for you. There. Now look close so you can see.
A swastika.
The mark of those who belonged to the Gestapo in the old days. The mark of the werewolf. He was Erich Stroma's right hand. Erich Stroma. The men who killed your lover on your wedding day. Or have you forgotten? Now can you sit beside him?
Yes. It was almost 3 hours. Felcher's body sagged against me. I was just about crazy by the time the bus stopped. The driver called. We were to Wittenberg. We were the only ones leaving. Hans cut his bundle from under the seat. I pushed Felcher's body against the window. And we started out of the bus. Every step of the way, I expected someone to stop us. But no one did. The bus pulled away, leaving us standing in the cold dawn.
It's half a mile from town.
All right.
How are you feeling?
Fine.
You've been through a lot.
It will be worth it. Let's go.
There's the hut. There in the trees.
It's dark.
I'll take the gun out of the bundle. Come. Great moment, Elna.
Yes. Yourself. Anyone besides?
He lives alone. Here's the door. Unlocked.
The glass breaks.
No, it would wake him. This is better.
It's empty. You were wrong. Stroma isn't here.
I was not wrong. Erich Stroma is here. And in this room.
What?
Welcome to my humble dwelling, Elna Kahl.
You?
Yes. I am Erich Stroma, not Hans Brunner.
Wait. You're forgetting this gun.
You're not leaving.
Why did you bring me here?
This was best, the safest way. Also, it provided me with such pleasant diversion. I don't get much of that these days. You must forgive me. It was so delightful to watch you change before my very eyes. From a beautiful, confident disciple of this new democratic Germany to a weary, terrified, rather ugly creature. You had to bite your lips to keep from sobbing when I cut your lovely hair, didn't you, Elna? For my part, I had to bite my lips to keep from laughing in your face.
Oh,
and the glasses. Glasses, Elna, they give you a dreadful headache. That's what they might. And your hours in the freight car and Felcher's cold head resting on your shoulder.
Felcher? Then he wasn't?
Oh, yes. Felcher was a Nazi, all right. One of my trusted followers. How else do you think he was able to follow us? Why do you think he gave me the melon with his knife? When you told the hotel clerk about him, I fear you destroyed his usefulness.
And what about me?
I would like to spare you, Elna. Despite your rather tattered appearance, I think it would be pleasant. Unfortunately, it would also be extremely dangerous.
And so you are going to kill me?
Yes. Now, Elna. Now.
Well, what's wrong? What did you do to this gun?
What did you think I did, Erich Stroma? When you left your bundle in the freight car, I found the gun and I took the bullets out.
You knew about me.
Yes, I knew about you right from the beginning.
I'll still kill you.
No, I don't think so. If your two bodies stand against me, I found here their guns. This gun is going to make all the bullets I need.
Helena, now listen to
me. You listen to me. I have listened to you in these last moments of your life.
No, Helena.
Yes. I knew you were Elskormer. The moment I saw you in the doorway of Hans Bruner's apartment, you found out. He discovered your hiding place here on this voice, didn't you? You found out. He'd been appointed to hunt you down and kill you.
Yes, Helena,
but you couldn't take any chances. So you came to Munich to kill Hans Bruner before he could kill you. You had just finished killing him, rang the bell. Hadn't you, Stroma?
Helena.
Hadn't you?
Yes.
And you would have killed me there in that apartment, too, if I showed the slightest signs. I know you weren't Hans Bruner.
Yes, Helena, that's all very true, very true. But still, you can't shoot me in cold blood.
I told you I had a very good reason for killing you. That you murdered the man I loved. On the day we were to be married.
But Helena, listen to me. That was long ago. That was
long ago. Yesterday was to have been my wedding day. Yesterday. The man I loved. The man I come to Munich to marry. Was Hans Bruner.
Tonight's Dark Venture was written by Larry Marcus and directed by Leonard Reed. In tonight's Dark Venture, Betty Lou Gerson was heard as Elma, David Ellis as Stromer, Leo Clary as Felcher, Jack Moyles as a trainman, and Earl Lee as a hotel clerk. Original music by Rex Corey. Your narrator has been John Lake. Until next Tuesday, remember, smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil, too, for quick, good grooming and to relieve dryness between permanents. Mothers say it's great for training children's hair. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.